Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Before we get there, I did want to have a conversation on the Guardians because, as I said going into the break, it does to me at least feel like Guardians media and Guardians fans, and that, yes, includes me, and includes all of you, probably owe the Guardians at least somewhat of an apology. Right? Because during the 10-game losing streak and this team looking like they were falling off the rails, we did just kind of write this team off. And we drew a lot of problems with the way that the front office operated. And I'm not saying that you have to go and say, oh, well, they were absolutely perfect and they functioned the way that they should have. But I think a lot of us were looking at this trying to say, like, oh, we're basically looking at a lost season. They're wasting Jose. They're burning a year of Jose's career. They have no indication to win. They're operating with basically no urgency to try to act as if they wanted to win games. Which, again, I think part of that is true. They still are acting as if there's no urgency to make moves done, to bring up prospects, to try to help this team. Yes. But there was clearly something that was missing. Like, there's only so many pieces that you have as Guardians fan or as the Guardians organization who are up and ready to play. Like, clearly, I think you can argue CJ Kafis was probably battling an injury, and that probably led to him not being called up because they basically said he was dealing with wrist soreness, and that wrist soreness ended up turning to be a fractured hamate bone in his wrist. The same thing that Jose Ramirez dealt with, and he's now going to be out for the span of like 2 months. So, okay, the argument can be made there, but also there was clearly something they were looking at that said they're in a really tough stretch right now, but this team is not as bad as everybody thinks it is, and that's why we're not making a ton of moves. There was clearly something indicating to them, or maybe they got lucky, that, hey, you keep throwing guys out there like Nolan Jones, something's going to turn around. Brian Rocchio, I think while all of us had pretty much written him off after he got sent back down to AAA, he didn't have a great day today, but he's had a really good stretch of games. Angel Martinez was in a cold stretch, but they trusted he was going to turn it around. And all of this seemed to hit like a brick through a window. Right? Like, it just absolutely shattered from they can't hit the ball to, oh, wait, yes, they can. And again, like, you can turn around and look at probably the last two games and say, well, they're not putting up a ton of runs. Like, once again, they come out in back-to-back games and only score 3 runs, and that's not good enough in a lot of ways to win you baseball games. And today, a lot of your offensive production was centered around, hey, that Stephen Kwan guy's pretty good, right? He has 8 homers now on the year because he hit 2 today for the first time in his career, a multi-home run game for Stephen Kwan. Also really funny, he has 8 home runs this year and 3 of them are off of Charlie Morton. Yeah, Charlie Morton guy might just not be really good at pitching. It's almost like he's old, washed, and not a reliable pitcher. Crazy, crazy how that works. But like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like the front office was treated in a very fair manner by fans and by media to go out there and say, this team's not ready to compete. Like, the starting pitching ended up being there. They went out and got you starting pitchers who, quite frankly, have solidified this rotation into being something that is usable and something that is maybe not top of the league like we once knew the Guardians to be consistently over and over again, but to consistently be a solid rotation period. Like, yeah, you can trust these guys. Logan Allen's had a couple of rough games, but Slade Zaccone was sure a good move. Like, you can look at Slade and say, I'd probably rather have Slade right now than Josh Naylor. Like, Naylor hasn't contributed to a ton of winning in Arizona right now. Slade is single-handedly your best pitcher that you probably have on the roster behind Emmanuel Clase. And obviously playing 2 different roles. Like, Slade's the one guy that goes out there right now that I'm like, undoubtedly, I trust him. And Gavin's been really good. And for the time period where he was here, Luis Ortiz was really good. They've made moves to make the team better. It's just been really hard to see that. And I think they have been blinded in a way of, yeah, you should probably play Kyle Manzardo a lot more than you have. There are different things that they could be doing to make this team more competitive over the stretch where they weren't. And I do truly believe that. But to just look at this team and go, they're full of a bunch of quad A players, is probably a slightly unfair take. And probably just a stretch of baseball that you're looking at the Tigers going on right now. Do you look at the Tigers roster and go, that's a bunch of quad A players? I would hope not. They're leading the AL Central. I don't think quad A players get you to the top spot in a division. Especially not a division that's at least pseudo-competitive, right? Like, there's not really a great team in the AL Central, but a lot of teams in the AL Central. You have 4 teams that are sitting right around 500 or above. Like, it's a solid division top to bottom when you take out the White Sox. So I just don't know that you can go out there and just bash this team because, oh, they went on a bad stretch of games, even though it's our initial reaction. And it was all of our fears coming true. Like, everything that we thought was going to go wrong with this team just happened to start going wrong. So it felt like reality coming forth and actually presenting itself to you. Because all of the things that we were nervous about, well, Rokia won't look the same. He's not going to put up the playoff performance he put up. He's going to put up the 2024 regular season performance. And Manzardo, quite frankly, was good for a stretch of games for a little bit in 2024, and then wasn't. And there was a time period where he looked like he was doing the exact same thing. The beginning of the year, he couldn't miss. He was driving the ball out of the yard left and right, and then 10-game losing streak, and a little bit before that, Manzardo wasn't exactly putting up, you know, crazy stats. It's like he's definitely fallen off of a cliff. And now he's come back around to being a pretty good hitter. I just think that we were in a roller coaster of peaks and valleys. You were clearly in the deepest valley on the track, right? Like, there was no lower than it was going to go. And that's where it felt like we said, these are the real Guardians. As bad as it gets, here's where real baseball came to show through when that there was no chance that was going to be the team that we were going to see. Yes, they were playing good teams. Yes, they were getting upstaged by a lot of good teams. But that's not who they were. They weren't that bad offensively. Like, they were, but they aren't that bad offensively as they showed. I just think there's a lot of positives to look at this team still, and we're now talking about them and bouncing back, and all just kind of jumping on the bandwagon of being like, hey, look at this team start to rile it up, and now they're finally hitting. They're hitting a streak. And nobody really looked the other way and said, remember those things we were saying 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? We might have been wrong. Like, did every move that you made this offseason work out? No. And I could definitely draw to 2023 and this year as being an offseason of failure in terms of guys that you acquired, especially free agent signings. Like, yeah, Mike Zunino doing real good in baseball right now. No, he's not playing. And a lot of the guys that you added, Carlos Santana, hasn't been great this year. He is finally seeing a slump in his career. I can go out and say that Jacob Junis has been less than ideal. Paul Sewald can't even stay healthy, let alone pitch well. Your free agent signings were a bust. But you did also at least show a team that I think is a 500 baseball team. Is it what I wanted them to do after an ALCS appearance? No. Did they also put together a team that, well, we're just going to go through and build a lineup that we don't think can win it all this year? I think also no. I think it was a year of evaluation for them. Maybe it shouldn't have been, but it was a year of evaluation. If we have a lot of young guys and we're going to see which ones are real and which ones aren't. And we're banking on some of those guys being real. We do truly believe that some of those guys will be that. But you're going to have to ride out through the good and the bad here. I just don't know that we can wholeheartedly, like, I'm not saying you got to be happy with it, but I do think you should probably step back on our word a little bit. We should reflect and look in the mirror and say, no, some of us were wrong. And me included. Again, I was very critical of this team because they could not hit the ball. And I do still think that the offense is not good enough. But are they as bad as they were during a 10-game losing streak? I don't think so. Michael, am I being unfair here? Do you think that fans probably owe them an apology?
I mean, fans are allowed to feel how they feel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say they're owed an apology. I'm kind of right with you. I think it's totally fair, though, as a fan to be living in the moment, living in the present. When they're losing 10 in a row, you want, you know, you want everybody fired. You want everybody traded. You want all this stuff. But now, like, okay, they're back in this thing and, you know, you're allowed to change your mind. So, again, I wouldn't necessarily say they owe anyone an apology because, again, you can feel however you want to feel. If you still feel like they should sell, they should, you know, that's up to you. But, like I said, I think fans are allowed to change their mind, and I think that's part of the thing.
No, I agree, and, like, you should be able to go through the ebbs and the flows, and that's part of the fun of being a fan is that you get to live and die with the team and have that emotion. I also think that when you put it in retrospect, this is the equivalent of, like, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they have a really bad game, and they lose to, you're playing the Buffalo Bills, and you get smoked. And you're just like, well, this is toast. And I get it. Like, you're not, the Kansas City Chiefs are like perennial Super Bowl winners, so maybe that's not the best comparison, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, it is the equivalent, a 10-game stretch is the equivalent of one NFL game, when you put the actual season into perspective. Like, 10 games is, I mean, it's something, like, it matters, but it's also in the grand scheme of things, a very small part of your season. And it just feels like one terrible game of an NFL season and then overreacting to it. If you're the Chicago White Sox, yeah, you should be going, this team sucks, everybody should be fired, and we need to make moves and we need to make something happen and change, whether that's just calling up young guys or actually trying to, you know, get guys with multiple years of control with upside, whatever we need to be doing, because that team has sucked and they've continued to suck. It's the same as you go, like, I think the Orioles, you can make a lot of arguments right now, and they're probably the team that has the most fairness of being like, what are we doing? Because they built an offense conducive to winning, and their pitching just exploded on them. And it's like, oh, you certainly didn't do anything to shore that up. You lost Corbin Burns, went where? Charlie Morton. Like, thanks. That was a really great move you made. But I think that you have to be able to put it in perspective of a season. And, like, yes, be a little overreactionary. Live and die with the team. But also probably realize when you were overreacting a little bit. And I think we were. We were overreacting to the Guardians. The same way that I think if you're living on the high of winning, what, 11 of your last 14 now, and you think that this team should be all in and go all in for the deadline because they're in 500 and they need to make something happen now because they can push for a playoff spot, you're probably overreacting a little bit too. Like, can they make a wild card game? Yeah, absolutely. They're right in the thick of it. Are they going to make a run to the World Series this year? No, the roster's not built for that. Like, they're not going to beat the New York Yankees. If you played in a series with the Yankees, something tells me it'd look a lot like last year by the final box score. Probably be like 4-1. You might steal a game off of them, but you're not going to take...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The series against New York. So, like, again, ride and die by everything that this team does. I love it. It's the fun of watching baseball and having 162 games to react to. Also probably realize that overreaction is a real thing. Maybe an apology is too far. I think, though, that if you put it in retrospect and you look at this thing as a whole, yeah, they were probably just always a 500 baseball team. That's what they've been. That's what they continue to be. All right, let's leave that there. But let's continue to talk more Guardians. I'll ask Justin Ladd about the exact same thing coming up here in 5 minutes as we continue to talk Guardians deadline and more on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. We head out to The Fan hotline. You can catch him over on Locked On Guardians, covering the team every single day. He's Justin Latta, and he joins us now. Justin, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, man. I mean, hey, last time we talked, the Guardians weren't doing so good, so they're doing a lot better now. That's got to be good for everybody, I think, if we have an idea of where things are going.
Yeah, I mean, we could at least all put a smile on our face. I actually just spent the last 20 minutes talking, and I want to get your opinion on it. Whether or not fans in media sort of owe an apology almost to the Guardians front office for the reaction to a 10-game losing streak that then obviously was very quickly catapulted into winning 11 of 14 and the offense actually looking semi-competent.
I mean, things were pretty bad, and you know, losing streaks are a product of a bad team, but also some bad breaks as well. The lineup's definitely not, constructed to win a whole lot of games. The pitching staff did find their footing, but they just couldn't score. And they also made a ton of errors at that point, too, as well. And if you're not playing clean baseball and you can't score, it's hard to win games. So No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it was 10 games is a pretty bad losing streak, and everybody's right to react the way they did because that really took them out of the race. And now we're sitting here, now they're hot, wondering where does this thing go next?
So, Justin, where does it go next? Like, how does the front office react to this stretch of winning? Are we overblowing the idea that we just had three really good series against the three worst teams in the American League? Or does a stretch like this actually make it difficult to decide what you do at the deadline?
I'm sure what they're doing is they're operating both ways. I mean, that's what most front offices are doing right now. Unless you're clearly cut in first place, like the Blue Jays or the Yankees or, you know, whoever's in first place in their division, the Brewers right now, everybody else is kind of talking both ways. You do a lot of what the Rays usually do, where it's maybe you're having conversations where you sell a couple of pieces that are going to be free agents at the end of the year on part of the future. Maybe you're hoping somebody's name pops up on the radar that, you know, could be a long-term fit. Go back to last year, the Cubs, you know, acquired Isaac Paredes, who is now with the Astros. Nobody saw the Cubs making that move last year. They were not really in contention, and the Rays wanted to get rid of him before he had arbitration, and then the Cubs turn around and trade him for Kyle Tucker this offseason. So that was a great move, and that's what you want to kind of do. You want to try to, if you're in that position, you want to try to move some guys that aren't going to be part of the future, like whether it's, you know, Carlos Santana or Jacob Junis. I don't really know if they can trade Paul Sewald at this point, maybe. And then maybe you can buy a long-term piece in the outfield, or you just promote young guys, except for, you know, Chase DeLauter, unfortunately.
So I was interested to get your opinion on Santana. Obviously, he's seen a drop in production, even as the Guardians have continued to win. Is there still, you think, a market on a 39-year-old first baseman who's had, obviously, the history that he's had, or is that kind of depleting by the day as his stats continue to fall?
Yeah, the first base market actually feels like it's actually pretty robust. You have Ryan O'Hearn from the Orioles, who actually is probably going to be traded. And then, you know, Josh Naylor might go. We're not really sure what's going to happen there. So there's two first basemen on the market there, and the Red Sox need one, and then the Mariners need one. And I'm sure somebody else needs a first baseman. So, like, he could be the third guy on that market, maybe. There might be a market for him as like a bench role player, but it definitely a better fit somewhere else. I do think, you know, this whole Santana experiment, who's probably been great in the clubhouse, obviously the defense is fantastic, but yeah, he just has not recaptured any of the consistency they were looking for. And it's definitely going to lower their floor if they trade him or get rid of him and bring up like a CJ Kapus. But given where they're at right now, trying to go to the playoffs and also build for the future, I think it makes more sense for them to go ahead and move him, bring up C.J. Kapus. That raises your ceiling, because Kapus could have a higher ceiling than Santana at this point, but he's certainly got a lower floor. So you're banking on a little bit there, but the Guardians have to do both. They have to try to play for now, and they also have to play for the future. And I think that's C.J. Kapus. So I think they'll find a taker for Santana somewhere.
What is a general return of what you're looking for? Like, obviously, I don't need you to throw me a prospect name that fits, but, like, are you taking a just high-risk, high-reward type of prospect that hasn't worked out so far in an organization? Or are you just hoping to get essentially anything back?
I think you're hoping to get anything back with Santana, because it's not like he's having a great year. He's 39, and whatever he's owed left, they actually paid him more this year than Josh Naylor is making in arbitration, which still kind of shocks me. So I think you're just looking to get anything for him. If you can go out and find someone who's willing to offer a lottery ticket, go for it, because it's not like it's going to be a great buyer's market. It's going to be a good seller's market. So if there's a team out there desperate enough that thinks they have to upgrade first base and they don't get Josh Naylor, they don't get Ryan O'Hearn, maybe they're interested. But I think, considering he's, you know, very limited to first base DH and his age and his salary, I think you want to get something back, that maybe it's an organizational guy or maybe it's a reliever you can call up in a couple years to pitch a couple innings.
Justin Latta, Locked On Guardians, with us here on the Fan Hotline. If you're looking at the team right now and you're building a lineup on the day-to-day, even for this last week before you get to the deadline, is there a real point to playing Carlos over Kyle Manzardo at this point? It feels like Manzardo, obviously, the OPS advantage, he's just behind him. When we talk in a more general term, like batting average, is he just kind of a better player when you put defense aside?
Yeah, I mean, at this stage of his career, sure, he's got a lot more upside, and you're still trying to figure out whether or not he is, you know, somebody you can build around for the future, have as a cornerstone, because he's still going through ups and downs, and you got to get more at-bats out of him. But, you know, Santana's got to play just because the way the roster is constructed, because who are you going to put there? Like, Jose Ramirez DHs once a week or once a series, and that leaves you to put in Will Wilson, and that might be Gabriel Arias now that he's coming back, it seems like. Do you really want to play Jonathan Rodriguez over Carlos Santana? I really don't think so. So, I mean, you might as well play Santana while he's here, but you should have both in the lineup. And the only reason not to place, you know, Manzardo is David Fry, but David Fry is also having a hard time recapturing what he did well last year. You know, he had a good start out of the break and then just kind of cooled off since. So, yeah, I think you have to play Santana while he's here, but hopefully that also over the next week gives him some extra marginal trade value, but I don't know if it really will.
You mentioned, obviously, C.J. Cephas is a potential replacement option. I know fans are obviously excited about him because the minor league numbers say that you should be. Like, when you look at basically every stat, he crushes AAA pitching. As you look at the transition from guys who have that profile then to moving into the majors, should you be expecting him to produce if he comes up? Does he show promising signs, or is it almost a little bit of a gamble right now, more so than just obviously the normal, you're bringing up a prospect, it's always a gamble?
It's always a gamble, and it's going to be a gamble with his profile. There are definitely red flags in the profile. Like, he expands the zone a lot, and that's kind of what Cleveland was trying to get away from in Josh Naylor. You know, the weight issues, whatever, you can say what you want about that. But the biggest issue with Josh Naylor, and you can even point to Andre Jimenez, is they chased out of the zone a ton. And the guys they took in the draft, yeah, they swing and miss a ton, but they don't chase out of the zone. It seems to be like an organizational direction they want to go in. That's part of, like, Nolan Jones. So Cephas actually expands the zone a little bit. He can be beat with breaking balls low. He can be beat with fastballs high. So there's some holes in his swing in his game, but he represents a lot more upside at that position than Carlos Santana at this point. And he is left-handed, of course. I know everybody wants someone to be right-handed, but the majority of your pitchers you face are right-handed. Progressive Field's built better for left-handed hitters, so there's probably going to be some ups and downs with him, but he's proven enough in AAA where you've got to see it, and there's no reason to not have him on the roster over Carlos Santana, because, like I said, it gives you a higher ceiling, and it builds towards next year.
Justin, if we're looking at the schedule left, obviously you have two series coming up before you get to the deadline, one against the Royals starting tomorrow, and then you take on the Colorado Rockies. With the amount of teams that you've played who have just been at the bottom of the league, are you almost using the Royals as a litmus test leading up to the deadline to try to prove to this front office one way or another, here's what this team really is, or is that too small of a sample size?
I mean, three games is definitely too small of a sample, and it's not like the Royals are great either. I mean, they're definitely better than the Orioles, they're better than the Rockies, but, you know, everybody is. So it's kind of hard, and the thing with the front office and anything around baseball, they're not going to sit there and be judging a team by three games, and you can even question to say if it's smart for them to judge this team based on 2 weeks out of the second half, but, you know, they're pointing to more things that are going on internally and what their projections might say. So I don't think they're using any small samples. And that's why I said, I think you're having phone calls and conversations with other teams on both ends of the spectrum. You're talking to them about who you could buy. You're talking to them about who you can sell. And I think a lot of teams are going to wind up waiting until the last 48 hours to pull off anything serious. And even then, I think it's going to be a limited trade market. So no, I don't think you have to worry about a three-game sample really throwing this thing one way or the other.
Is Emmanuel Clase still on the table in your mind?
I mean, yes, if there's going to be a deal out there that makes a ton of sense for them. Like, we know how this team operates in terms of trades. They go out and they set a price and they don't divulge from it, and that makes them hard to trade with. I mean, other GMs have said over years that the Guardians are difficult to trade with because they set that value. Now, they don't really ever try to meet you in the middle. You meet their price or the deal doesn't happen. And there's no real motivation to trade him. He's still affordable next year. He's still having a great year. If you look past April, the numbers are as good as they were a year ago. And they should reasonably expect to contend next year. You might have Chase the Water if he can, you know, put him in a bubble for the offseason. Travis Bazana should be up next year. You reasonably have a chance to contend next year. So I think a team would have to blow them away to make that offer. But then again, you might also have that conversation in the offseason. So I think it's, yes, they're listening to everybody, but I think the chances are pretty slim.
How much has the reconstruction of the playoffs in baseball is sort of hurt the deadline? We've seen it play out now, at least for 1 year, and go and see that more teams obviously feel like they can compete. Has it almost killed the deadline from what it used to be to what it's going to be in the future now?
Yeah, it's absolutely ruined it. You know, I'm sure you grew up too the same thing, watching Baseball Tonight and watching those specials up to the deadline and having, you know, Peter Gammons and all those guys on there talking about trades until the deadline came up. That's gone now. And they even got rid of the non-waiver or the waiver trade deadline on August 31st years ago. And because you have all these teams that are like 500 or a game under, they all think they have a shot. So there's no reason for them to go out and do a hard sell at the deadline. So you've really just kind of muddled it, and it's think it's taken away from one of the most exciting times of the season. You got, you know, NBA when free agency kicks off, it's a frenzy, right? Same with the NFL. Baseball doesn't have that in the offseason. They used to have it at the trade deadline, and they completely killed it. They need to move it back at least 2 weeks, like maybe middle of August, so that way more of these teams can have a firm idea of where they are because there's less time left for them to really get it together.
I did want to talk to you, Justin Latta, with us here on the hotline about something you guys talked to you and Jeff earlier this week. It was a conversation that you had regarding Stephen Kwan, and I wanted to ask it the most direct way I possibly could. In your opinion, is it a smart idea to extend Stephen Kwan at any point here this season?
If the numbers are right, sure. I mean, you don't want to get locked into a bad contract. Look, I know everyone's going to say, you know, spend the money, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not advocating to not spend money. But if you take that point out of it and you just think about the budget the team operates under, there's probably not a financial situation that makes sense to extend him because of what he's going to want and what makes sense for the Guardians. There's the risk that his body type, his age, he's already got the hamstring issues, the player profile. There's a lot of guys in that same profile that by age 30, 31, 32, they're pretty much, you know, bench players, overpaid bench players, or just basically out of baseball. So I think it's a massive risk for how he's going to age. And maybe he'll do great, and maybe he'll be wrong. I mean, but not everybody's Jose Ramirez in terms of that body type and how they age. So I have a hard time believing that they're going to find any middle ground on a contract of what he's going to want versus what makes sense for them, considering where they like to set their payroll.
All right, Justin, we have breaking news coming down in the baseball world. Jeff Passan just putting out on X, the Seattle Mariners are acquiring first baseman Josh Naylor from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Your initial reaction to the trade, good move for the Mariners, and how much does that help them in the race for the AL West?
Absolutely. They need a first baseman horribly bad. That's a great move for them. The Mariners have a great farm system. They draft really well. They have really good tradable players with skills and traits that teams love. That's how they got Randy Arozarena last year. Great deal for the Mariners. I don't know who they gave up, obviously, because I just heard it, but I think it makes a ton of sense for the Mariners. They absolutely need that, and now we're going to have the first base musical chairs, so it's about to get interesting.
Is there a benefit for teams, even like the Diamondbacks? Like you said, we don't know the return right now as it stands, but is there more of a benefit to moving off of guys early like this? Or does it make sense for, like you said, these teams to wait until almost the last 48 hours to sort of make their big moves?
Well, I mean, the Mariners are definitely in a situation where they need to buy. They have that good starting pitching. They have a chance to win their division. They should win a wild card. And the Diamondbacks, you know, they went out and spent a lot of money on Corbin Burns. He's hurt. So they, and Zach Allen's a free agent. They're just not in a position where they should be buying for 2025. So I think that made it a lot easier. Like I said, if you're in first place and you're a clear seller, if you got something to sell, yeah, it makes a ton of sense to jump the market and try to set the market before other deals get set if you feel like you have a good one. But for these teams like the Guardians or whoever else is, you know, the Red Sox or the Angels even, those teams who are muddled in the middle, I think, are going to wait just because of their situation. So for the Diamondbacks and the Mariners, from their position, it made a ton of sense to go ahead and just get this done.
Justin Latta with us here on the hotline. Justin, before we get you out of here, I did want to talk to you. Starting pitching in general, but more specifically, Slade Ciccone. I feel like he's right now probably in at least practice, maybe not in reality, sort of operating as the ace for this club right now just because he's been really good over his last few starts. Is that something? I mean, you can draw. Gavin Williams has also been really good. So if you make that argument, I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might say they just don't have an ace right now, which is a good and bad thing. I don't think they do because you expected Tanner to step up and do that, but he's had a lot of inconsistencies this year. Same with Gavin Williams. I think it just depends on the turn of the rotation. I mean, Ciccone for sure has been the most consistent since he came up, which is fantastic. I don't know if you call anybody an ace. Like last year, I thought, even 2 years ago, Tanner was your stopper. When you are losing games, you need someone to come out and pitch a game and get you a win. That was Tanner. And this year, it's kind of been on the other side of things. So I don't know if they really have an ace. I think they just have a bunch of guys right now who are pitching like twos, threes, and fours, and it's just working. So yeah, I don't see a guy who really, like, if you ask me if the Guardians were playing in a playoff game tomorrow, who would start game one? I would assume it's going to be Tanner just because of the contract and the relationship, but I wouldn't really call anybody an ace right now.
Yeah, that's probably entirely fair, and I think I view it in a lot the same way. Do you think that what Slade's doing right now is something that it can be kept up? Because he kind of goes against the natural mold that you look for in a starting pitcher, that at least it's successful right now in your strikeout pitchers, guys that don't pitch to contact. He's almost a blast from the past of a guy that works, that does pitch to contact right now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's replacing Ben Lively, who was kind of the king of that, right? But no, Slade stuff is really good. I think eventually they'll help him miss more bats. You remember, he started the year with the was an oblique injury, I think, that kept him out for the start of the year. And he's got an entire arsenal change from what he was throwing in Arizona. And he's still fairly young and new to the level. So I think you'll see more strikeouts in time. I don't want to, you know, pour cold water on what he's doing because he's pitching awesome. But, yeah, there are definitely some underlying metrics under the hood that make you question whether or not this is sustainable, because he does get a lot of contact. He doesn't get a lot of hard contact. If he can keep the control where it is, you know, maybe it'll be sustainable. But the new pitches they've given him and the way he's working with them in a short amount of time says a lot about what he's able to do. So it may not be sustainable, but maybe you can get everything you want out of it this year and then kind of rework things next year.
Justin, as always, I appreciate you jumping on. We'll be looking forward to Locked On Guardians here within the next couple days, because I'm sure there will be some talk and some touch on Josh Naylor heading over to Seattle.
Yep, there's a lot of rumors, but we know where rumors go with Cleveland. We never really...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
See it pan out. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to talking about all that.
Appreciate you. Good stuff, man.
Thanks, Dick.
Justin Lana there of Locked On Guardians joining us on the fan hotline. We're going to react to some of what Justin had to say. And while we were talking to Justin, we had a chance to talk to him about it. Former Guardians first baseman Josh Naylor traded from the Diamondbacks over to the Seattle Mariners. And we didn't know the return at the time. Now we do. That would be the number 13 and number 16th ranked prospects in the Mariners organization. Both arms. And, I mean, it was a rather interesting price to pay. It wasn't anything like solidified, right? So they got Brandon Garcia back. He's a left-handed pitcher who got called up earlier this year and then was sent back down. He hasn't really spent any significant time in the majors. And I mean, I shot Justin a text after we got off, after I saw the return. And I asked him about it. And he said that it's an interesting return. Garcia's reliever, Izzy, is an interesting prospect, project arms, but still waiting for more development. And again, Garcia's a triple-A arm who saw the field this year a little bit. And from the profile that I've read on him, has good stuff, has overpowering stuff, hums it at about 96, 97, and is pretty much just missing a changeup, but probably somebody that the Diamondbacks are going to be able to actually throw into their bullpen, if not this year. I'm sure with their current state of affairs, they'd be very happy to do it next year. And Ashton Izzy, right-handed pitcher, currently in high A, drafted in the fourth round for them. And he's, as Justin said, sort of a developmental arm. So, I mean, that price is relatively, I don't want to say it's high, but like you get two top 20 prospects back from the Mariners in return for Josh Naylor, who, by the way, has been like, he hasn't been knock your socks off type of good, but he's been good. He's still hitting 292. He just hasn't really produced it into power this year because that's the story of Josh Naylor. It's either I hit 230 and I'll give you 30 bombs, or I can change things and I hit 290 for you, but I'm not going to bring the power. He's got 11 homers this year, which Guardians fans might think is a lot based on how many we've produced, but it's not that many. I don't know. It does sort of rub you the wrong way. I think the entire situation with the way that it went down in Carlos Santana, and Justin made a very good point to it, it was surprising to see them go through and sign Carlos for the type of money that they did, while meanwhile Josh Naylor goes through and goes into arbitration with the Diamondbacks and ends up getting paid less for the 1 year than Carlos Santana did. And there's no arguing Josh Naylor has been a better player than Carlos Santana has this year. Like that is in no way an argument. You had the money to go through and pay Naylor. It's just you didn't have the money to pay Naylor and Kwan together. But you're going to have to move off of one of them. But considering Naylor wasn't in arbitration, or Naylor was in arbitration, but Kwan was not, you had at least 1 year if you really wanted to hold on to him. Like that was available to you. And I'm not mad. Like Slade Ciccone has been great. We talked about him. But you certainly look around right now at the offense and you look around at first base for this team right now, and Carlos has been playing there more days than not, and you've gotten more production from Kyle Manzardo already, and I would have rather had the production of Naylor on this team by far. Like it wouldn't even be a conversation. I would take the swing and miss Josh Naylor any day of the week compared to what I've gotten out of Carlos. I just think it's incredibly interesting. If the sell of the Guardians, which it should have been from the very start, we don't really have the funds to keep Naylor around, but this is going to be Kyle Manzardo's spot, right? We're going to give him a ton of opportunity. Obviously, that's one of the things that I poked a major hole in all year long. It's just now looking at it and going and saying, all right, if I look at the American League, the Mariners are in a battle. They are six games back from the Astros. They're closer to first place in the AL West than you are in the AL Central, which is going to be eight games by the end of tonight. Whew, those Tigers. Yikes. Down 11-1 to the Blue Jays. But like, they're also in a better spot. They're a team over 500 who desperately needed a first baseman, right? They originally had Rowdy Tellez around. I don't know what on earth happened with that, but he is now a Texas Ranger. I think tonight they're rolling out like, I don't even know who. Donovan Solano, I think, is playing first base. I looked earlier, and I think that was the name that popped up.
Standby.
They needed the first baseman, and Josh is a great pickup for them, and they got it done early. I will say this does start to set the market on what Carlos Santana would actually be going for. Not that I think that's the biggest worry when trading Carlos, but I mean, you're starting to get an idea of, not that you're getting the same return, but okay, if that's what Josh is going for, let's take that down a ton of notches and realize that he's 39. I'd imagine the return for Carlos is not going to be great.
So officially, the Mariners, they are starting Donovan Solano tonight. On their roster, they have Luke Rayleigh also listed at first base, as well as Dylan Moore.
Yeah, not great options. I'm going to be honest. Like, that's not a great first base spot. And they needed it, like, desperately. And this helps them a ton. So it all makes sense. I think it's just frustrating as a Guardians fan looking around and being like, a top team wants Josh Naylor. Like, even if it's just for this year and then they let him walk through arbitration, they send him somewhere else. They clearly think that he can be an answer to them at a position where they need it. And it's also a position right now, yes, it's great to have that freed up. You want Manzar to get reps. You want Kafis to get reps now. If you're looking to be competitive this year, though, like, Naylor still made a ton of sense. And you moved on from him in a year where he's still showing, I can be productive. I can be a solid, at least, hitting first baseman. And he hasn't ever been awful defensively, even though maybe a little on the heftier side. Maybe me and Josh Naylor are not built all that different, but I don't know. It feels like a move that it doesn't upset me a ton because I'm happy with Slade, but it also makes me sit there and go, yeah, probably be somebody I'd be interested in still having on the roster. There'll be somebody that would be helping this team offensively a lot, and you'd have one less question to try to answer at the deadline. 216-474-0092. You see what Josh Naylor is going for, and he's heading to Seattle. Does it bother you, and does it lead you anywhere with Carlos Santana? Again, 216-474-0092. Get a grip. Coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.